From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Mohammed El-Erberde, the chief of the International Atomic Energy Agency, says his group will inspect Iran's new uranium enrichment site on October 25th. The BBC's John Line reports the IAEA chief made the announcement during a visit to Tehran.
Mohammed El-Erberde has always been a more positive about Iran's cooperation. He's always been really determined that this crisis could be resolved peacefully. He doesn't want to have a repeat, for example, of the Iraq War. Certainly Iran, on the face of it, is giving more in the short term. It's giving the access demanded to Rome, although it's interestingly not meeting the deadline outlined by President Obama on Friday. And it's also pushing ahead with talks for the that could enable some of its enriched uranium to be taken out of the country, processed further for a research reactor in Tehran. So cooperation on those fronts, but still and yet in many ways Iran's getting what it wants, which is a continuation of its uranium enrichment program, and also it's managed to push back the danger or the possibility of new sanctions.
The BBC's John Lines reporting. Meanwhile, the New York Times is reporting the IAEA has prepared a document that concludes Iran has enough information to plan and create a nuclear weapon. The Times spoke with officials familiar with the document, which has not been completed or published. The report adds the conclusions will require more confirmation. The Times report notes there are other aspects to building a nuclear weapon, such as enriching nuclear material. Indonesia says at least 715 people died in last week's earthquakes on the island of Sumatra. Thousands of people are missing, feared trapped in rubble or lost in mudslides. Relief groups are trucking emergency supplies to quake survivors. From West Sumatra, Diwali Saikautau reports.
Foreign and local aid groups are distributing tarpaulins, biscuits, toothbrushes, and water to families, many whom have lost their homes and are simply clustered in small groups in open areas. Along Sumatra's beautiful coast, severely damaged buildings could be seen, some structures completely flattened. Roads were torn apart from the earthquakes and shops remained closed. Lines continue to be long at gas stations, even though the government says it's brought in enough to last several weeks. Earlier, police and military could be seen manning gas stations to keep order. For NPR News, I'm Duwahali Saikautau in Padang, Pariaman District.
Typhoon Parma is slowly pulling away from the Philippines. Parma is drifting north and could brush Taiwan as it meanders toward the Chinese mainland in the South China Sea. Authorities in the Philippine Islands say at least 16 people have been killed by the storm. There are reports villages have been flooded and of a landslide. Parma followed right behind Typhoon Ketsana, which killed nearly 300 people in the Philippines and more in Southeast Asia. Millions of buildings were flooded during Ketsana, and the rice harvest has now been threatened. You're listening to NPR News. At least 170 people have died from last week's powerful tsunamis in the Samoan Islands. Victims were found in Samoa, American Samoa, and Tonga. In Samoa, the government there is arranging a large mass funeral. Relatives of those who were killed won't be able to hold individual funerals. Many would have difficulty because their villages have been destroyed. A Russian government commission concludes negligence was a major factor in a devastating accident in August at the country's biggest hydroelectric power plant. High-level officials could face trial over the accident that killed 75 workers. NPR's Anne Garrels reports.
The Russian commission said poor maintenance caused a turbine to vibrate excessively and then explode. It had been forced to generate additional power because of a fire at yet another plant in Siberia. It cited bad decisions and neglect stretching back years and said six senior officials were responsible, among them Anatoly Chubais, a leader of the privatization drive in the 90s. Chubais oversaw the breakup of the country's utility monopoly into regional power companies. He signed off on the power plant despite documented problems. Chubais has defended his decision, saying money was tight and that shutting down the plant would have been a catastrophe for the economy. The report underscores concern about Russia's crumbling infrastructure and careless management. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Moscow.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are closer to baseball's World Series. The Dodgers beat the Colorado Rockies at home last night to become the National League West champions. They'll now take on the National League Central champs, the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.